Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means. We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of buggies in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Long Box Guys. With me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a little kid. Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing really good, and I am drinking some super sap from Treehouse tonight.
It looks super sappy. Now, Tommy, I see you there drinking straight from the bottle, so we know you're having a great day. What are you drinking there, bud?
I'm drinking the cheapest scotch that I own. Scoresby. My God, this is horrible.
I don't know why they put that right in the bottle, but they do. Mikey, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing excellent, and I might be doing volunteer work tonight, so I am drinking water.
Shots
of water?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it when they force you to work, but they don't pay you?
Yes, it's volunteer work for my uncle.
He's a good uncle. Bit of a drunk uncle, but, you know, still a good uncle.
Yeah, a little racist.
The drunkle.
But, you know, you can't pick your family. Speaking of family, the movie we're about to review, it really is a family movie about family. Mikey, what are we about to talk about?
We're going to talk about the Aquaman movie. If you have not seen the Aquaman movie yet, stop this podcast and go out and watch it and then come back. Or just listen to us because we're about to spoil the shit out of this movie.
Yeah.
That's right. This is not a spoiler-free review by any means. We're going to get into it and talk about it. But first, we're just going to give our general opinion on it. Mikey, what did you think?
I would say if you took Avatar, mixed it with Black Panther and Romancing the Stone, you would have the Aquaman movie.
Oh, I had a three-movie comparison, too.
Oh, please.
I was going with Tron, Tomb Raider, and Land of the Lost.
Oh, nice. Nicely done. All right. Tommy, what do you got?
I didn't have a three movie comparison, but I did love this movie. I thought it did combine a lot of Raiders of the Lost Ark with a buddy road trip movie. So I thought I didn't have a direct comparison like that, but I really did enjoy this movie. How about you, LT?
I could definitely see Tron. I could definitely see Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I could definitely see Avatar in this mix. You know, and it did have a sort of buddy cop feel to it as well. You know, it was definitely probably one of the better DC movies out there.
I would say out of all the DC movies, this for me ranks second just behind Wonder Woman. But
yes. Mira had said at some point, "I'm getting too ancient for this shit." I would have been all in. That would have been my favorite movie of all time.
I agree, Mike, that it's second behind Wonder Woman, but there's not a lot behind there for me. So I would say this was an okay movie. Like, it was all right. I wasn't super excited at the end, the middle, or the beginning. Like, I thought it was okay. Like, it was an okay movie.
All right, so we'll agree that the bar – you didn't need a running start to jump over it, right?
No. Yes.
As far as DC movies go. But let me tell you why this movie is good along the same lines of Wonder Woman and probably Man of Steel. All the other DC movies, there's no reason behind it. It's not actually telling a story other than, hey, there's a bad guy who wants to destroy the world. Whereas Wonder Woman is about a person leaving their home and going out into the world for the first time, which just about everybody can relate to. In this movie, it's about a mixed race person discovering that instead of feeling alienated by both cultures because he doesn't feel like he's part of it, he can embrace both cultures, which is a great theme for the movie itself, which it gives it a heart and a feeling that other movies like, you know, Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad, all those movies, they lack.
I think they did have an advantage that the character had already been introduced. And so they got to skip some of the, you know, the 15, 20 minutes of every other superhero movie where they have to explain every detail of who this person is and what they're doing, which was nice, where they stepped into the character we already knew at least a little bit. So that was where it opened in that action sequence and it didn't immediately drift into, you know, a montage.
And thank God, because this movie was pretty long, and if it had another 20 minutes of introduction, it might have been really not so good for the movie.
Speaking of montage, though, that was part of my favorite part of the movie, was when we got to see training montages. I love a nice training montage.
I knew you were going to say
they
that.
They kept it pretty succinct, though. At least it wasn't,
All right, so you want to go character by character, and we'll talk about what we liked about the characters, what we didn't like, cool scenes with the characters in it, and then and give you guys, the listeners, the Long Box Legion, a little bit of background about the characters. Of course, if you want a more in-depth background about a lot of these characters, go back and listen to the last 2 weeks of this podcast, the Aquaman podcast and the Aquaman supporting characters. So first we start off with obviously Jason Momoa playing Aquaman, a.k.a. Arthur Curry. Aquaman first appeared in More Fun Comics number 73 back in 1941, created by Mort Weisinger and Paul Norris. I did like the fact that they credited those creators at the end of the movie. It was very prominent, which is something a lot of times movies tend to forget, giving credit to the guys who originally came up with the idea. That was cool. What did you guys think of Jason Momoa as Aquaman?
I think he's generally good. He gets the look and feel of a slightly edgier Aquaman. Once they burst him into the more traditional suit, I really liked the visual of that. I thought he looked great in it. I like they didn't make him completely invulnerable to the small arms fire and whatnot. And as the Atlantean stuff sort of came in, he was more of a straight up warrior than some superhuman just trouncing everybody. And I have to say my favorite secret nod in the film was the nod to Game of Thrones.
With the chest wound?
The exact same wound with the exact same compress on his shoulder. The one that, of course, kills him in Game of Thrones. Spoiler if you haven't seen that, screw you. But yeah. Totally. As soon as I saw that, I was like, that is hilarious.
I love Jason Momoa so much so that my wife has forbidden me from ever getting his autograph because I might try to run away with him. Jason Momoa can do much better than me. Let's face that. But I thought he was terrific in this. A lot of fun to watch. He got the physicality right. He got the mannerisms his own. He didn't copy anyone. He really did his own thing. I enjoyed watching him up there.
I love Jason Momoa in this. I think he didn't have the regality that the comic books has as Aquaman. A lot of the comic books tries to kind of play on that sort of royal heritage, whereas in this, the character itself was not written in that way. The character was written very much in the I don't want to be king sort of way, and so he was not playing it that way. But it was a great version of Aquaman.
Hey, don't worry, Tommy. I'm on Wikipedia right now, adding the word regality for you.
Is that what that typing is?
You don't have to worry.
That's not,
you know, that typing sound isn't my dog walking around. It's me adding the word regality so you don't sound like an idiot. Keep going.
Wow, you're just vicious. I will say that. Yeah, I agree with Josh when he's talking
it's
about the costume. I like the fact that James Wan, the director, steered right into the costumes and the look from the comic books for all these characters and embraced all the craziness that is the Aquaman character instead of Zack Snydering the shit out of it and making it all dark and broody and just making it a horror film, which at one point it does become a horror film. Congratulations. Apparently, Tom has also adjusted Merriam-Webster's dictionary, too. Way to go. You've got mad skills.
Just on your tracks there, buddy. Just trying to make sure you don't look dumb in front of our listeners. I'm here for you.
Thanks, Tom.
You're right about that, though. He really could have just made all the armor black. He could have made all the Aqua people wearing, you know, like, the same kind of suit, the same kind of armor, and take it away from the fun, the bright colors, the craziness that was the Aquaman world. So I'm glad he decided not to go that way. Though I will say that Mira's shoes were ridiculous.
You mean those boots kind of thing when she's in her Mira costume? Or are you talking about when she's doing the...
In civvies.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you swim in boots?
They don't swim. They just propel anyway. It's not like their legs are kicking.
No need for boots underwater is my point. I know everyone's thinking, Tom, you just want to see a lot of bare feet. All right, that's true. But still, no need for boots underwater. I thought that was kind of dumb.
Okay.
Well, Tom, you were just looking for more porn.
As long as we're talking about Mira, let's go into it. Mira, yeah, played by Amber Heard. First appeared in Aquaman number 11 back in 1963, created by Jack Miller and Nick Carty. You're going to hear Nick Carty's name a lot as the artist because he was the main artist for Aquaman in the Silver Age. She is the Princess of Zebel and has hydrokinesis. She is the only one in the movie who actually displays hydrokinesis.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that disappointed me. There's no mention of Atlantean sorcery.
Yeah, they kind of did gloss over that.
I really wanted to see some mention of it, maybe just a scene with her and Acolytes, and not just, you know, her being another super being, but showing that there's something a little more occult and mystical alongside the technology with Atlantis, which is one of the things I like about it. It's sort of that mixed, you know, mixed world sort of feeling.
I was kind of getting that a little bit from Voldo teaching him that shield technique, because, you know, he wasn't spinning that thing so fast that he made a water shield. There was something magical and mystical about that also. But I thought of it more of, you know, a martial arty mystical thing than a water mystic thing.
And I was kind of getting that a little bit from the Trident, as the Trident was kind of mystical.
Yeah, there's definitely magical.
They were hinting at it, but you're right, Josh and Mike. I think they could have gotten into it more.
They could have gotten into it a little bit more.
Just the word sorcery somewhere in there. So would have been enough for me.
Did you guys like
Amber Heard? Just somewhere in the background going, sorcery.
What sorcery is this?
I liked Amber Heard, but I didn't think there was a lot of chemistry between her and Aquaman. Like, I was not really seeing a lot of the love interest that you saw in the comics.
I don't know. I guess.
And I don't know if they're just not setting that up or if they're.
Well, they did with the hand touching and.
Yeah. And they make out. So.
In the middle of a war. That was a little. I was a little like.
It was a little weird.
I would have laughed my ass off if they both got shot or a shark just swam by and just grabbed them as they were kissing.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Or if a tortoise had just kind of pushed them apart.
Or a crab had been singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the other things I got to say thematically that bothered me. Without the mention of sorcery, at some point, as technology advanced in warfare in the human race, at some point, we decided to leave our dogs and horses at home. Like, why are you still riding sharks, guys?
Because they eat people.
Sharks are awesome. All right, but why is that other guy riding a seahorse then?
Because did you see
the shark? I'll go with the shark.
Did you see those seahorses, the mouths on them, the teeth? Look at the bones!
Like sea dragons.
I don't know, man. I think I'd ride a shark into battle, but I don't know about the seahorse.
I think I'd ride a tank into battle, because we have laser beams going.
But
They did have laser beams.
I'm just saying.
I will give credit. I like the designs that they had for those Atlantean ships in that big battle at the end, too. They looked like sea creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because you couldn't see all the his tanks that already sank. Like all the bottom.
All the bottom.
I can't believe you bought all these things. They were so cheap.
I mean, they're cheap. Two bullets dead.
They also included two of the Aqua pets into the movie. At one point, Aquaman does jump onto one of those seahorses, just like when he used to ride Storm in the old Aquaman cartoons. And you guys saw the he's not the greatest Aqua pet. Yeah, he is, right?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he would have been if LT had successfully argued it.
Yeah.
But he was. I think we all know the greatest Aqua pet is Topo, the octopus who
is playing the drums.
Playing the drums, man, because that octopus is awesome.
Totally awesome.
If you're wondering what we're referring to, go become a Patreon subscriber and listen to the GOAT Greatest of All Time when we do the Aqua Pets. For just $1 a month, you can get access to our Patreon only podcast, and that's at patreon.com/thelongboxguys. But
well worth it to hear us argue about who the greatest Aquapet was. If you pay $1 a month just to listen to that once a month, you're getting your money's worth.
Totally worth it.
Totally. And totally.
You had already talked about Vulko. And
we did mention Vulko, the guy who trains Aquaman, played by William Dafoe, looking scary as ever, as the chief vizier of the Ocean Master, who was secretly behind the scenes actually working to make sure that Arthur was brought back into the fold and perhaps becomes the real king. Voldo is one of those characters who is half mentor and teacher to Arthur and half puppet master to Ocean Master.
Yep.
Probably the most disappointing part of the movie for me. I love Willem Dafoe, and I thought the character was flat, and he mailed it in.
I will say I would have preferred Danny DeVito in the role of Vulko. No,
that would have been hilarious.
He looks more like Vulko than William Dafoe does, and he also would be a nod to Romancing the Stone, which I thought this movie
was based on.
Based on, right? I thought that would have been a perfect segue for him. It's like Joe Pesci playing Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man movies. Why do you pass on that? I don't understand it.
I don't know. I don't understand that.
So William Dafoe also bridging the DC and Marvel worlds. He was the Green Goblin in the Sam Raimi's Spider-Man stuff, too.
And we can all agree that if William Dafoe had never put on the Green Goblin mask, it would have been scary.
Yeah.
It would have been better, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been better.
Yeah, he's way scarier than that mask.
Yeah.
Way scarier.
Yeah, in this, I was like, man, I love Willem Dafoe, and this is just kind of sad.
Yeah. He really was playing it kind of demure for William Dafoe. I want my William Dafoe a little more out there and in your face. I did enjoy the montage scene. But it was clear to me that William Dafoe was like, with the entire time looking around going, what the fuck am I doing here?
Did I miss it, or did Aquaman call him Cobra Kai when he was talking about training him?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure there was, which it would have made it even better if it was Pat Morita.
That would have been awesome.
Vulko.
Pretty much anyone.
That would have been hilarious.
Speaking of having
Ralph Macchio. Ralph Macchio would have been a perfect Vulko.
I would have taken a Macchio.
Bill Zabka.
Yeah.
Billy Zabka would have been the best.
That is a true statement.
And I want everyone to send me $1 for remembering Billy Zabka's name without looking it up.
Especially you, Billy Zabka.
I know you're listening. Seriously, I know you're listening.
It was one of our Patreon patrons. Sure, why not? Speaking of names that couldn't come to mind, I'm sitting right next to Tommy, and I look over, and I'm like, is that Dolph Lundgren? That might be Dolph Lundgren.
That was definitely Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah. His face haunted me the whole film, and I could not put name to face.
Really?
I'm glad you couldn't. Glad you couldn't, because he really didn't look like Dolph Lundgren the first time I looked at him. I'm like, is that...
It was the prettiest that Dolph Lundgren's ever looked.
I would say this might be the best acting role Dolph Lundgren has ever had.
Look great.
Not true, my friend. Red Scorpion.
I'm not familiar with that.
Ex-KGB agent turned almost patriot.
I think you're full of shit.
I think the film doesn't exist. I think he's full of Scott.
I'm not saying the film doesn't exist. I think you're full of shit saying that it was probably a great movie.
I liked it.
Yeah, I'm sure the Academy had some counter arguments. But
what he's being tortured by a Cuban, and all he has, and the Cuban guy only has like these knitting needles, and he like forces like 9 or so into Dolph Lundgren's body all over the place. He goes, "I've never needed more than 12. I have 22." It was a scary line for me. I've seen that movie.
Tom it's probably really made you watch it.
Yeah, seriously.
He tied you up to a bed and Deadpooled 2 you.
We're going to have to do a movie review of that, I think. Maybe a goat.
So, yeah, Dolph Lundgren, a.k.a. the Punisher, also known as King Nereus in the Aquaman movie. His character was created by Geoff Johns and Paul Pelletier, appearing in Aquaman number 19 in 2013. Little fun fact, in the comic books, he is not Mira's father. He is the man who Mira is betrothed to and sends Mira to go kill Aquaman for him.
Right then.
A little bit different.
Well, let's talk about the big bad in this one, Ocean Master. Anyone have any background on him?
A.K.A. Patrick Wilson. You also remember him as the owl in The Watchmen.
Oh, that's where he was. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's fucking killing me, dude. Wait, it's not on his IMDb page. Well, all right. It's not on the IMDb page that my wife read off to me.
Okay.
Yeah. She's like, Tom, you're not going to know him from any of these things. And she's bringing up all the obvious stuff, and then she must have skipped over The Watchmen.
Yeah. Have you ever seen his film, Hard Candy?
No, I've heard. Yeah, I have seen Hard Candy. Oh, yeah, Hard Candy. He was great in that, too.
Yeah, with Ellen Page.
Yeah, that was
That is a disturbing movie. Yeah.
I didn't know who to root for by the end of that one.
Anyway. Yeah, I like Patrick Wilson in general. The character was okay. I love the Ocean Master mask.
Yeah, straight out of the comic with the purple.
Straight out of the comic. There was he was just spot on. I mean, he was right out of a four-color page as the villain. That's really what I liked about it.
All right, speaking of masks, the greatest explanation for a stupid mask of all time, Black Manta.
Yes.
He's adding the Atlantean technology onto his scuba mask. The thing melts down and blows half the thing up, and he goes, "I'm going to need a bigger helmet." Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for telling us why you have that stupid-ass giant fucking helmet on your fucking face.
And I have that to admit.
Reference to Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna need a bigger mask, yeah.
Really gonna need a bigger mask. Yeah, everything about that line and that explanation and about him remaking the armor, painting it black, the Manta thing, his grandfather, his father. That man has a reason for revenge.
Well, let's stick with Patrick Wilson for now, and then we'll go back to Black Manta.
Fuck Patrick Wilson, I'm on the Black Manta!
Ocean Master, a.k.a. Orm, was created in 1966 in Aquaman number 29 by Bob I Don't Give a Damn About Continuity Haney and Nick Carty. The one thing I thought was interesting is Patrick Wilson in this movie looks exactly like Aquaman from every other medium.
Yes, absolutely.
Because in the comic books, blondes are a bad omen in Atlantis, and that's why they kicked Arthur out. And in this, they're just like, no, we want him to look exactly like Aquaman should, because screw you. I like that.
Could have been worse. It could have gone with Owen Wilson. That would have been a really weird Ocean Master.
Yeah.
Hey, Aquaman. Can't do it. Can we get back to Black Manta now, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it, that was great.
Black Manta, played by Yaga Abdul-Mateen II from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Boom. Yeah. Young guy, his first feature film.
Yep. The character first appeared in Aquaman number 36 back in 1967, also created by Bob Haney and Nick Carty.
We do a pretty good explanation on our last podcast, so we don't have to go too deep into the character. But I did like this new interpretation. I did like the new why he got revenge, why he was called Manta. Everything about the character just really spoke to me. It kind of reminded me a little bit about Killmonger, because by the end, I was going, Killmonger was right. Black Manta deserves some blood.
Yeah, I liked the one-shot revenge theme. It was well done. I don't know if I believe Aquaman just leaving the people to drown. I'm not sure if that was a believable exit for him, but I do like it.
Well, he was get yourself out of it. You're the one who got yourself into it.
If there were innocent people trapped,
yeah,
that they had caused, I wanted it to be a little bit more of one or the other. He was on the fence. He's like, I'll try to be back. But you got yourself into I'll try to be back, but you got yourself into it. You try to get out of it. Yeah. And he has to help the other people first. Yeah, and then he dives back in and tries, but can't make it.
There were 30 dead Russian sailors that they had just killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a bloodbath without actually being a bloodbath.
And this wasn't your straight out of the comic book Aquaman.
Yeah.
You got to remember that it is a different interpretation of Aquaman as well.
This was a harsher Canadian Aquaman. What the fuck are you talking about?
It does give him it's totally different from the comic books. Yeah. I agree with Tom on that one. So stop shitting on him, man.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring up the fact that he's Canadian in this.
He's Canadian?
Where's the lighthouse? I thought the lighthouse was...
It's in Maine.
It's in Maine.
Oh, he's in Maine? He's not even Canadian?
He's not even Canadian.
Jesus Christ.
In
the comic books, Amnesty Bay is in Massachusetts, but in the movie, it's set in Maine. Although, before we go on to Amnesty Bay, I do want to mention when Black Manta is falling down that cliff, it is horrific. And in my head, I heard Homer Simpson going, don't, every rock that he hit.
I did like that scene.
That was a pretty good scene. Tony, are you hurt?
Are you okay? Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hudson Hawk.
The doctor pulls him into the ship. He's like, Black Manta, how did you survive? He goes, airbags. Can't you believe it?
In my mind, I wanted his helmet to briefly flash on every time he hit something and disintegrate something.
That would have been bad, actually.
It would have been good is at the end, when he crashes onto that last rock and his helmet's broken open, you see the airbag coming out of it.
Just the powder all over his face. Yeah.
I would love that.
So, I do have to say, the young guy did a great job, and the Black Manta suit and everything they did with it was a lot better than I thought it was going to turn out to be.
Yeah, kudos on that one.
And both these villains had clear understanding of why they were doing what they were doing, as you said earlier, Tom, right? You know exactly why Black Manta's doing what he's doing. It's pure revenge. And you know why Ocean Master is doing what he's doing. Well, twofold reasons. One, He's sending that clear message that the surface world, the land people, are destroying the entire planet.
Not wrong.
And he's not wrong on that. And that's what makes a great villain to actually be right in his argument. All the best villains are right in their argument. They just go about it. Their solution is always in the wrong way, right?
Yeah, that was Hitler's one mistake, Mike.
Well, leaving art school, that was also a mistake.
Yeah.
Totally.
What about Hitler's plan you thought he was right about?
Going from oil paint to watercolors, that was my real...
Terrible.
Okay. Yeah, terrible. All right. I just wanted to see if you'd defend Hitler.
I also want to go again. I also want to say that the Volkswagen, an excellent automobile. The people's car. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tommy. Tommy gets it.
It was.
I understand.
It's the Rock.
Yes, the Rock is driving.
But then again, the Volkswagen was designed by Porsche.
Brenda Porsche?
Yeah.
The actress?
No, it was designed by Porsche, the automaker DeRossi. Porsche.
Don't be a jackass.
Anyway. Sure, why not?
All right.
So that brings us a little bit over.
Let's keep going.
Let's go to Atlanta. Before we go that, let's stick to Amnesty Bay. Did you guys notice the book that was underneath the lighthouse globe?
Mike, Josh, you had to notice that book.
Yeah, I love God that. Right there on the desk.
Witch horror.
A little Lovecraftian book, especially for a movie that featured several Lovecraftian villains.
Horrors.
Yeah. Exactly. Well played, James Wan.
Well played.
Well played. Yeah, that was great. I love seeing that book there. Yeah, that was just terrific. It made my day. It really did. There's a lot of little nuggets in that movie that just made my day. When they're about to get into a fight in the bar, and then the guy's like, hey, can we get a selfie? Yeah, it made my day. And all the little selfies of them getting drunk. I love that.
What did you guys think of Nicole Kidman as Atlanta?
She was fine. She was a placeholder. Like, I didn't really feel anything from her. I didn't get any feels from either what she was doing or it was fine.
She's a shitty role model.
I thought her fight scenes were better than I expected.
Oh, she's obviously a really good when she was kicking all those Atlanteans' ass, she's obviously an awesome fighter, but the whole movie is predicated on her being selfish and not doing what was best for her kingdom and fleeing. And then, you know, she then realizes that she's endangered these people. So she then goes back to Atlantis. And I don't know why people love her so much as being this great queen, because she ends up, as soon as they find out that she's betrayed the king, they throw her into the trench. So she's a disgrace there, and she could have just ran. Like, couldn't she have gone inland a little bit further than Maine to hide?
Than a lighthouse?
I mean, it would have been a lot harder to find her in Reno, right?
Gone to a great lake.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything, right?
Anything.
Yeah. She could have gone to the Sahara Desert.
At least put her in a water show in Vegas.
Yeah.
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 She could do that upside down Houdini trick.
Yeah.
Like for hours. I'll get out of this eventually, guys. Give me a couple minutes.
I'll be there.
So Atlanta doesn't have a long storied history. She only goes back to 1959. to Adventure Comics, number 260, created by Robert Bernstein and Ramona Frandon. I did like the one part where she is in that lost world, although I was really upset that they did not call it Skartaris. That's where the Warlord is in the Hollow Earth theory in DC continuity. They could have just made that Skartaris. And if they had just showed that on the screen when they, you know, pop out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, the location. I would have creamed my pants. I would have been like, yeah. I'm just kidding. I creamed my pants anyways, but that was for a whole different reason.
Yeah.
The armor that she was wearing, the Murloc kind of pieced together armor that she had put together was kind of goofy and dumb. And once again, she had Murloc heels on. That's weird. Yeah. It's not needed.
Well, she had. She had to blend in with the rest of those creatures, right?
So they were all wearing heels.
Yeah. Did you notice that the trench all wore heels?
Yeah.
Why do you think they were so tall?
Just local fashion, man. You local can't fashion. That.
I did like that they said that she had tried several times. I do like that giant what was the name of the monster?
I don't remember.
That was Carathan.
Carathen.
Carathen. Can I find his
in the hidden sea?
The voice actor was. Do we know who the voice
Julie
actor
Andrews.
Was? Julie
Andrews.
What?
Fucking Mary Poppins.
Hello, Aquaman.
I am not kidding about this.
Really?
That was Julie Andrews doing the voice of that Cthulhu monster.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't believe you. I rolled on my perception. I got a 4, which is still enough to
Josh,
beat that.
You want to confirm?
All right, let's...
You know, Mike, I think I might need to switch to water now.
Yeah, Julie Andrews. Confirmed. IMDb. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Julie Andrews is the giant tentacle monster at the end.
Yeah, fucking Mary Poppins. That's literally... They saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and they were like, oh, you think Mary Poppins is cool? Fuck you. We'll actually put Mary Poppins in the Aquaman movie.
So one of my favorite parts about that is when the at the very end, when everyone's celebrating, but also the Kraken is celebrating, like flailing its arms, like, yay, we win! That was hilarious to me. Like, hey, that's creating tidal waves. Like, boom, that's the Philippines. Boom, that's Indonesia again.
That's Tokyo again.
Someone calm the Kraken down.
So, Tom Curry, did anyone, without looking it up, place Tom Curry before the end of the film?
No, I had to look it up. I was like, I know this dude from somewhere. I know this dude from somewhere.
I've been doing that for a while myself, and I can't quite place him, Josh. Help me out, buddy.
Jango Fett.
Jango Fett. God
damn. That's where I knew him from. I'm like, why do I know this guy's face? He is the clone of the Clone Wars.
Let's get back to that love story now. Jango Fett, Tom Curry carried that. His longing looks, his walks to the dock, that was way more believable than anything I saw on the other side of that little thing. I don't like it when people just fall in love for no stupid reason. We just talked about Aquaman and Mira, their big kiss. Didn't really see a reason for them to get together. My only problem with Brokeback Mountain was that they never, like, touched hands before it happened. And there was no longing looks or anything like that. They just started fucking. Same thing with this love story. I didn't see the right buildup.
Well, they didn't really have time to build it up, right? It's just the backstory.
Yeah, and they flash forward years later.
Yeah.
We don't see the love story. We just show her, like, crashing at his pad when she's injured, and then... years later, and then years later, she's pregnant. Like,
no,
he
I was talking about Mira and Aquaman.
Yeah.
And
there was nothing really that put them together besides a few action scenes. No.
Now, Tom and I get that one. That one was slow. It percolated. I get that one. It's the other one I don't get. The Aquaman and Mira thing I didn't get.
I like the fact that Tom can outdrink Arthur.
Yeah, I don't like that. Well,
one of them was drunk in the truck and the other one was driving.
No, I mean, he could pound faster.
He did pound faster, yeah.
I mean, we're talking body mass. I mean, it's going to take a lot to get Aquaman
drunk. I can
pound
faster if you don't mind driving me home.
Yeah. Well, I'll drive you home.
Thank you.
I'll touch your hand first. It'll be a build-up.
Thank you.
Yeah, there'll be a build-up.
None of this sounds bad to me so far, except you're saying it too fast.
Yeah. I also like the fact...
then he won't be able to quit you.
Yeah.
I can't quit you.
I do like the fact that Tom had the third Aquapet who made an appearance in the movie, which was Salty, the Labrador Retriever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of references. A lot of good references. A lot of writers doing a lot of homework. Now let's talk about one of your favorite characters, the scientist who just didn't want to be wrong.
And
he actually makes two appearances, and I can see his motivation. I mean, when you're right and the entire world is telling you you're crazy, that's got to piss you the fuck off.
Yeah, you're talking about Randall Park as Dr. Stephen Shin. You probably know him best from Fresh Off the Boat or the FBI agent in Ant-Man and Wasp. Or Kim Jong-un from whatever that movie was.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
that one, sure.
With the people.
Yeah. But, he is obsessed with Atlantis. You can see him getting so frustrated that he knows that it exists and nobody's believing him. And you can see why he'd turn and help Black Manta. You know, he just wants to prove the existence. And that's pretty much this how he is in the comics.
This is Atlantis technology. You can back me up. You're not going to die on my watch, pal.
Yeah. They also had a few other notable actors in the movie. As far as the Dead King, Atlan,
yeah.
He's
Graham McTavish, yeah. Yep, love him.
One of the dwarves from The Hobbit.
He's Dwalin, yeah. He's also the Saint of Killers in Preacher.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
In the comics, he has a scepter, not a trident, but I like the trident better. It gives it a whole King Arthur kind of feel to it, where he, instead of drawing the sword out of the stone, he's going to draw the trident out of the hands of the dead king.
You're fans of Outlander, he's a major role in there. Dougal McKenzie, he's one of the main characters in Outlander. Christina loves Outlander. Hmm.
And also in the story, in the movie, I mean, Orm told him, you know, that it wasn't going to be the trident that defeated him. And then it was, ended up being, you know, the trident that ended up being a big part of what defeated him.
Yeah. Way to be wrong, Orm.
Exactly.
I don't know if you guys realize the Black Power Ranger was in the movie. I'm talking about Ludi Lin, who played Captain Merc. He was also the Black Power Ranger in the last Power Ranger movie. I looked that up. I had no idea.
Okay, I had no idea who that was. I was like,
I know that Power Ranger, and you're wrong. But if you mean the new Power Ranger, you're probably right.
Yeah, I looked it up. I didn't know that. LT, you know Merc better than just about any of us. What did you think of this guy playing Merc?
I mean, it was fine.
I think he should have been bigger. They should have had a larger, more imposing person.
Should have had more of a scar.
Yeah.
In the comics, he had a very huge scar.
Big scars.
If you're wondering who Merc is, he is the
leader of the Drift, the special forces of Atlantis. But we talked about that last week.
We did.
So if anybody doesn't know, they should just go listen to last week's podcast.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
He was left to a horrible fate having to breathe in a toilet, which was a good scene. That was hilarious.
I did like him just running through the buildings. Like, yes. I thought you would have liked that, Tom.
I did. That was a lot like the G.I. Joe, one of the last G.I. Joe movies had a bit like that, and it was really cool. It was cool in this one, too.
So coming from a non-comic book person, I sat down and watched the movie with my wife today, and she wanted it to go either more action comedy by way of Guardians of the Galaxy or more sort of serious by way of some of the other, like, Winter Soldier kind of. She thought it sort of drifted in the middle and never sat somewhere solidly to the point where she enjoyed it enough. So she thought, like, it was just a little too scattered in how they treated the characters and scene to scenes. That's from a non-fan view.
I like that. I like sometimes getting that other point of view. Thank you, Josh.
There were two other voice actors. John Rhys Davies, a.k.a. Gimli, was the Brine King. Digimon Hansu was the King of the Fishermen, and you probably know him best as the blonde black or the white haired black guy from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. He's one of the Kree. He's got the white eyes and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It might be Guardians of the Galaxy, not Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, he's the I always remember him from Gladiator.
Yes. Yeah.
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 And
I like him. I like him a lot.
Michael Beach is Black Manta's father. I know him from Third Watch, where he played one of the paramedics.
Okay. I didn't recognize him, but I thought his brief role was good.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. He's a phenomenal actor. If you ever watch Third Watch, he was great in that, too. And that's it for the actors. James Wan was the director. He famous for those Conjuring movies, and he did one of the Fast and Furious movies, which apparently is why he put in that horrible rendition of Toto's Africa by Pitbull.
Okay, yeah. There were some definitely questionable soundtrack choices.
Yeah, I was like, where the hell did that come? Even Janet, when we were watching the movie, my wife stopped and looked over at me going, what the fuck is that doing in this movie?
I kind of like that. I like Toto. Yeah. I couldn't listen to that whole song. Sorry.
What did you think about him jumping out and into the desert?
I love the old redheads. Gotta love them. I like you're pretty much invulnerable. You might as well just jump out of the plane. But, you know, you didn't have to wreck the plane on the way out. That's going to be tough.
The thing is, it just sets up inconsistencies in films, right? Where suddenly you jump out of a plane and you land and you're fine. And then three scenes later, you're falling through a cliff thing and you're suddenly worried you're going to fall off a cliff where you pretty much know you're not going to get hurt. You're just going to have to climb back up. It seems like maybe falling off a cliff is just an inconvenience at that point.
Well, it was in the middle of combat, so he probably didn't – like he, you know, normal instincts take over. I don't want to fall from off a very large height. But he does play back into the Justice League movie where he just jumped out and didn't care about falling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Or that guy's door.
Yeah.
Josh, how easy was it going to be for that guy to land that plane? Seriously.
That's definitely an inconvenience for that guy, yeah.
So the screenplay...
That cliff had all those sharp rocks.
Yeah. The screenplay was written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. That's his entire name. Who is also known for writing The Walking Dead and a couple of the Conjuring movies that he worked with James Wan on. Will Beal, who wrote Gangsterland and Training Day. And it's a story by Will Beal, Jeff Johns, and James Wan. If you read any of the Jeff Johns run on Aquaman, that's the majority of this movie is pulled out of the Jeff Johns run.
And I think we mentioned in the past that the Jeff Johns run on the Aquaman is some of our favorites.
Yeah.
So consistent on there. So final thoughts. We already said what we thought about it overall. I like the ending. I like most of the fight scenes. I didn't enjoy the love scene with Mira and Aquaman, but I really enjoyed the father being so dedicated and all that. Final thoughts, guys.
I think this movie is very true to the comic books. It's one of DC's best. And even though I didn't like it as much as Wonder Woman, this movie was not designed for me. It was designed for a kid watching the superhero movie and learning to love Aquaman, embracing the whole... This movie, like Black Panther, embraces the whole Aquaman history, just swerves right into it. I love it.
Fantastic special effects, entertaining film. Does it need to be more?
Yeah, good nods. Love the original costume. I like Jason Momoa, but I think just an okay film. Overall, take it in.
I think I'm going to go a little bit more towards Mikey when I say it's one of the three or four better DC films. I think I might put The Dark Knight above it, then Wonder Woman, then this one. And I found it, you know, enjoyable. I mean, I didn't find anything wrong with it. I did find when one of them gave him a nod saying, well, that's what Aquaman, he saved us from Steppenwolf. I thought even in the normal universe where Steppenwolf was a threat, at some point people would realize he wasn't that much of a fucking threat. Fuck that guy.
And right, really, did he really save him from Steppenwolf? I mean, pretty much Superman did everything.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know. They just saw him, like, knock at the cube, right?
Yeah, he came back. He's like, that guy who came in and kicked all those people's ass, I took care of that.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, that was all me. I got to ask my – usually when I'm watching the new DC stuff, I got to ask myself, would I rather just watch – if another episode of Titans was coming out today or I had a chance to see this movie, which would I choose? And right now I'm choosing the Titans over basically every DC film.
How many episodes out by now?
11. All of them. The first season.
I get to enjoy all of them. I haven't seen a single one yet.
Yeah.
And Young Justice season 3 is about to start.
Oh my God.
I just finally watched Young Justice season 2. I had only seen season 1 before. Oh, I love that.
Oh, so good.
Second season was delicious. Like jelly and jam on a cracker. Yum, yum, yum. All right, so that's final thoughts. This episode went pretty long, so let's eschew our normal things and go to plugs. Everyone agree?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
All right. Plugs. Pensacon coming up like a runaway roller coaster straight in our faces.
Who knows how long it is till Pensacon, but it's quick.
It's quick.
It's coming in 57 days, 17 hours, and 18 minutes.
From the time we're recording this podcast, because you're listening to this in the future. So it could be already past, depending on when you finally listen to this podcast.
You could be walking around meeting us right now.
But the bottom side of that, Mike, is I hate time travelers, so you should be listening to this podcast right away to gain the least amount of my ire.
The least amount. Who else do we want to thank besides our good friends Kirby Crackle? Kirby Crackle for always giving us our geek rock music. One of my favorite songs of all time, Ring Capacity. Just saying, it's still on my run list. I did a half marathon a couple of weeks ago, and when Ring Capacity came on, I was able to go that last 13 miles. God damn, that race sucked. 13 miles, it started off at 5 degrees and ended up at -5. Up a mountain in Maine. That wasn't my wife trying to make me healthy. That was a murder attempt.
Well, if you are going to be going to the Wizard World New Orleans January 4th through 6th, those dates are not right. Yeah, maybe they are. Who knows?
Maybe.
You can go ahead and use the code NERDCOUPLE10 for 10% off general admission. That is courtesy of the NOLA Nerd Couple. You should always check out their podcast. Also, our friends Sammy Savage over at Who's Next Gaming. Go ahead. They've got several different YouTube channels and podcasts that they do. Go over to whosnextgaming.com so you can check out all their links. And you should also go over to our YouTube channel. Just go search for the Longbox Guys, and you will see the secret origin of Josh Opper along with some of the other videos we've done. And I'm going to this weekend hopefully get our Aquaman podcast transferred over to video. So please go subscribe to that channel. Help us get some likes.
Absolutely. And you were correct about those dates, Mike. Wizard World Nolan's January 4th, 5th, and 6th.
And you can go and see Jason Momoa at those.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Well, I have to stay 100 yards away, but I can still see him if I squint.
According to Jason's law, I'm supposed to stay about a state away. So
that's fair.
It's like Megan's law for grown-ups.
I would like to promote GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hi, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com. Purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things such as Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses and stained glass prints and other geeky things such as fantastic socks, posters, t-shirts, all sorts of great stuff.
Official stained glass provider of John Barrowman.
Absolutely.
And official sock provider of Amber Heard. Prove me wrong, Internet.
You might want to also check out at the Logbox Guys on Twitter. We've been a lot more active over the last couple of months. We're going to be more active this year. That's one of my New Year's resolutions, is to get a little bit more spontaneous and jump on a little bit more often and talk to some of our friends at the Longbox Guys on Twitter. Have a good time with us. We talk about comic books, social justice movements, movies, wrestling, anything nerdy, anything at all.
Yeah, that.
That.
And well, Longbox Guys, I hope you have had a great 2018, and I hope you join us for the rest of 2019.
Yeah, next week we will be doing our end of the year awards. That's right. It's very exciting.
Absolutely.
It's just an honor to be mentioned. Yeah, so
Foxies? What are we talking here?
There's already an award called the Boxies, and it's in the porn industry.
Is it the Longies?
That's no, another one for the porn.
How about the Pornies? Pormies. After Aquaman's dolphin, the Pormies.
I'm not against it.
Okay, let's put some thought into this one.
Why don't you go ahead and tweet us at the Long Box Guys what you think we should call our end of the year awards?
Yeah.
Or go over to patreon.com or go over to our website or go ahead and just email us at luckybastard@thelongboxguys.com because LT diligently checks that every day to make sure
there's
no new emails.
There aren't any.
The Long Box Laurels. That's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's not great.
Not good.
Not good. It's not terrible.
Well, we'll keep working on it.
Keep working on it. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You live longer. Mikey, what do you always say? What is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
And Josh, we're going to be in Nashville, of all places, in less than a month. Is Nashville? Seriously now? Seriously? Is Nashville your sector?
No, I'm not taking any responsibility for Nashville.
What happens in Nashville is going to stay in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, what do you got to say, buddy?
I'm not even sure that the Scoresby scotch is the scotch I deserve. Because, man, it's goddamn horrible.
You did drink a third of the bottle, though, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so that's, something.
You're a drinker's drug, my brother, and I
feel the hangover
already.
I don't think you're supposed to feel it while you're still drinking it. I think the stuff is just poison.
This might just be poison.
It must be.
Yeah, that's called alcohol and marriage. And that'll do it for us here at the Long Box.
Bye.
Come back to us next week when we talk about the end of the year and all things Long Box Legionary. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
So I was at a side notes out of the holiday party last week, and it was a bunch of us who are ex-employees from a company. One of the guys, Abe, comes in, and he's like, "Hey, Jeff, I'm going to show you this thing." I'm like, "Oh, what?" And he had a keychain that was a pocket breathalyzer. And I'm like, responsible citizen, high-functioning alcoholic. Where do we land on this one?
I'm going to go with B.
Is it state-sponsored?
No, just
– If you just need that, you shouldn't be driving.
If you blow into it and it comes out like a 0.8, does the key retract into it?
That would be good.
That would be cool.
That would be kind of cool. But yeah, no.
Yeah, it just turns the fob off.
Yeah.
Turns your fob off, turns the power off.
It just ejects the battery out the back.
It just doesn't let you into the car.
And it buys you another round. It's two things.
Like,
nope, we're staying here.
Yeah.